All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Blaise Pascal. Have you noticed that these days, whenever people go idle, even for just a few seconds, they instantly reach for their phones? It's like they can't help themselves. In terms of functionality, the smartphone is a wonderful development. It has created a whole new economy and has also been a game changer in developing countries. We basically have the entire world in our pockets. Infinite information, news, instant connectivity with billions of people, and unlimited entertainment. I would say it's such an enticing, irresistible object that if Gollum were to visit our world, he would probably swap the One Ring for an iPhone. However, the smartphone has also become the most effective thief of a mode of being that most of us avoid. I'm talking about boredom. And today's human, the Homo smartphonicus, can't stand it. Boredom usually gets a bad rap. It's painful. It's something we want to get rid of as quickly as possible. Hence, whenever today's Homo smartphonicus feels the slightest boredom, he'll reach into his pocket, get the device out, and start checking his email for the 24th time that day. That's how he copes. Boredom has become nothing more than a signal of idleness, an unproductive, uninteresting state that needs to be eliminated quickly by activity. Which is a shame. Because if we would have the patience to welcome boredom, to let her in for once and see what she has to say, we might discover she's actually a pretty wise companion. Several philosophers have discussed the significance of boredom, what it means to be bored, and how we deal with it. This video explores why we need to be bored. My name is Stefan. This is not an AI voice. I'm a real person. Subscribe to my newsletter if you want to stay updated on all my content and consider supporting my work on Patreon. Thank you, and I hope you'll enjoy this video. You're most likely familiar with this nagging feeling between idleness and activity. You're doing nothing, yet you aren't at rest. You're not active, but you feel you have to be. As a child, you might have felt bored when none of your toys seemed entertaining anymore, but no satisfying alternatives were around. And as an adult, boredom could arise when you're scrolling through Netflix, but none of the titles really evoke that spark of interest. When bored, something feels off. It's a form of inactivity that isn't supposed to be, as if there's something problematic about it. The inactivity seems intolerable, even painful, and thus we desperately seek distraction. Now, what is this boredom? Where does it come from? The German pessimistic philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer was particularly concerned with boredom. For Schopenhauer, everything from simple rocks to complex life forms is propelled by an irrational force he called the will to live. Because of the will, we all have these needs. We procreate, we chase pleasure, and we try to achieve and gain status and prestige. This curse, so to speak, keeps us on the hamster wheel. But need is just one side of the coin. On the flip side of need, Schopenhauer posits boredom. Boredom arises when people's needs are fulfilled. The restlessness of fulfilling one's desires may be gone, but then the agony of not pursuing anything, not fulfilling a need, pushes us back into activity. He even suggests that we dread boredom because it confronts us with the emptiness of life. Schopenhauer compares those who seek pleasure after pleasure to escape boredom to beggars and describes them as follows. The crowd of miserable wretches whose one aim in life is to fill their purses but never to put anything into their heads offers a singular instance of this torment of boredom. Their wealth becomes a punishment by delivering them up to misery of having nothing to do, for to escape it they will rush about in all directions, traveling here, there, and everywhere. End quote. Boredom never leaves us alone, according to Schopenhauer. and watches us like a bird of prey, attacking whenever we secure ourselves of a need. Like Schopenhauer, philosopher Byung-Chul Han sees boredom as the shadow of our desires. Yet, while Han admits that profound boredom is an unpleasant experience, he also regards it as a symptom, a sign that we're too active and unable to sit still, do nothing, contemplate, or truly relax. Byung-Chul Han is a cultural critic, and his work shows a deep concern about where today's neoliberal society is headed. In his book, The Burnout Society, he describes a world of hyperactivity, achievement-oriented people, general restlessness, and the inevitable exhaustion and burnout that comes with that. In a world addicted to activity, in which people are constantly tired and on edge, could boredom be the cure? Byung-Chul Han calls today's society an achievement society, opposed to the disciplinary society that preceded it, which transformed us into extremely active, overly ambitious, self-motivated, achievement subjects. We always need to be doing something. We're always chasing goals. We can't sit still. We're living a vita activa, a life of excessive activity. Doing has become our default setting, while being has become somewhat irrelevant and useless. Just being implies doing nothing, not striving for anything. And it's pretty much akin to wasting time. After all, can't we use that time for something useful? And why not do several things at once? Technology has profoundly changed how we treat time. Simply sitting down to reflect on the day or read a book used to be standard. But today, we binge-watch television series, often while scrolling our phones. My grandfather used to walk 2 hours to work from one village to another. Today, we rush into trains and buses while listening to podcasts and checking our social media feeds. Or we drive on high-speed roads, listening to the radio, honking and cursing whenever traffic slows down. It's all about speed, efficiency, improvement, and quantity over quality. After all, we remain indebted to what Han calls the imperative to achieve. And, I would add to that, the imperative to experience. So our relationship with time has changed, and it's almost as if the natural pace of the world has become intolerable for us. Just walking without music or podcasts, just sitting on a chair, just watching the clouds pass by from the balcony, the simple act of being in the moment, establishing ourselves in time, has become painful. Boredom sets in within seconds. Han describes profound boredom as the flip side of excessive activity. It's the compulsive activism or vita activa that keeps it going. The Homo smartphonicus has very little tolerance for boredom, as he is so used to the unprecedented amount of stimuli available today. According to Han, our hyperactive restlessness and the franticness and unrest of today come with a price. We have lost our ability to relax. We can't just be in time anymore. We always need to use time to be active and achieve. If sleep represents the high point of bodily relaxation, deep boredom is the peak of mental relaxation, Han wrote. And so, of course, we burn out. Of course, we get depressed and deal with stress-related illnesses. But that's not the only problem, according to Han. Our general restlessness also prevents us from thinking deeply, from being truly creative, from reaching for something new and different. The very thing that's so unique to being human, the ability to invent and create, the emergence of genius, comes from the womb of idleness. I quote, "Culture presumes an environment in which deep attention is possible. Increasingly, such immersive reflection is being displaced by an entirely different form of attention, hyperattention, a rash change of focus between different tasks, sources of information, and processes characterizes this scattered mode of awareness. Since it also has a low tolerance for boredom, it does not admit the profound idleness that benefits the creative process." End quote. So how can we deal with this hyperactivity by which the human being suffocates among its own doings, as Hahn puts it eloquently? The answer may lie in the very thing we're always trying to escape. Boredom. Boredom generally isn't an enjoyable experience. From a Buddhist viewpoint, it's suffering. When bored, we experience discontent with the moment. We crave for something, something to do, to stimulate us, to distract us. And if we don't get what we desire, we feel the pain of boredom. It's what makes a child whine, "Mom, I'm bored." It makes us reach for our phones to see something interesting or play a video game. To escape the restlessness of boredom, we distract ourselves. However, by avoiding boredom, we prevent ourselves from experiencing what we're truly looking for, a release from the nagging feeling that tells us we need to be busy and entertained. Beyond boredom, true relaxation is hiding. We could see boredom as an obtrusive monster showing up at our doorstep, telling us we need to do something or it doesn't go away. Every time we're done, it returns, and so we give in to its demands again, and the cycle repeats. But if we let the monster of boredom in, and just let it scream and yell and stamp its feet, it will shrink, and might even become beautiful. When we look at addiction, the more addicted we are to a substance, let's say alcohol or food, the more restless we feel when we don't have it. Likewise, we feel so profoundly bored because we're addicted to activity. And so we need to kick the habit, just as an alcoholic must face the cravings of sobriety to be free from the need to drink. The restless human of today must pass through boredom to find calm without constant activity. According to Hahn, we can restore balance by bringing the vita activa, the life of doing, into harmony with the vita contemplativa, the life of reflection. We need genuine moments of inactivity to free ourselves from the compulsion to always be on. But the path to that stillness inevitably leads through boredom. Now, how can we do this? Releasing ourselves from excessive activity and embracing inactivity requires a paradigm shift. Our society tells us that we should always be active, achieving and productive, and we rest only to regain energy to be active again. Rest is subjugated to activity, not the other way around. But what if we flip the script? What if we make inactivity or being the priority? What if instead of existing for activity, we are active to exist? Just take a look at Buddhist monks. During the day, they're active. They do chores, go out for alms, and eat. But their spiritual practice, which is mainly meditation and periods of reflection on the wisdom of the Buddha, is what their lives are all about. The active part is primarily to sustain it. For the homo smartphonicus, meditation is incredibly dull. Meditation opposes his default way of living. It's basically a threat. But it's precisely this confrontation with boredom that will eventually calm him down and cause him to experience less boredom in life altogether. I'm not saying we should become Buddhist monks now, although that's fine of course. But meditation is a way to bring back some sanity in our hyperactive existences. There are more ways, though. We can start by cultivating the art of waiting. Many people hate waiting because it feels boring. But those moments in between activities are actually opportunities to reconnect with the natural rhythm of time. So don't grab your phone. Just observe how things come and go. Another example is digital fasting or a dopamine detox. We're going from one dopamine source to another, and it's making us restless, and life without these sources becomes intolerable. To get out of this trap, we may want to cut back or take a temporary fast from digital media. You could incorporate times during the day when you switch off your phone, take screen breaks, and read a book instead of scrolling on Instagram. After a period of consuming too much news and fast-paced videos online, I've recently returned to slower forms of entertainment. I started rewatching my favorite Star Trek series, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I really had to readjust to its slower pace, but it's far more relaxing and even a little contemplative, given the show's philosophical depth, than endlessly binging short clips. Slow living is another way to liberate ourselves from a society driven by sprints, deadlines, multitasking, and the constant push to achieve. It's the art of slowing down. Han talks about lingering, staying with the moment, allowing time to regain its depth, rather than constantly reaching for something new. If you're interested, I made a video on slow living a while ago. Finally, we can bring rituals back into our lives, which doesn't have to mean religious ceremonies or anything, but simple daily gestures that bring structure and rhythm to time. Rituals aren't productive, they don't aim to achieve anything, yet they slow life down in a structured way. They let one phase come to an end and mark the beginning of another, and they can also connect us to others. Examples of such rituals are a morning walk, a cup of tea at 2 in the afternoon, or watching a specific show at the same time every week, as we used to do in the past. I'm currently reading Han's book on rituals, and I would love to explore it in a video in the near future, as it's pretty profound so far. Of course, shifting to these slower modes of living will evoke moments of boredom. And if that happens, you'll know you're going in the right direction. Thank you for watching.